Mary Kubica's Just the Nicest Couple has captivated readers since its release, becoming an instant New York Times bestseller and earning praise from Stephen King, who called it a masterclass in psychological suspense. This domestic thriller explores the dangerous intersection of marriage, friendship, and betrayal through alternating perspectives that keep readers guessing until the final page. With over 3 million copies of her books sold worldwide and translations in over 30 languages, Kubica has established herself as a master of the unreliable narrator technique that makes this novel so compelling. What begins as a simple missing person case evolves into something far more sinister, asking readers, how well do we really know those closest to us? Nina Hayes has meticulously constructed what appears to be an enviable life from the outside. As a passionate high school English teacher, known for inspiring her students to love literature, she's married to Jake, a brilliant neurosurgeon whose reputation at Boston General Hospital is stellar. Their Victorian home in Brookline, purchased 5 years ago, stands as a testament to their success. Its wraparound porch and 5 bedrooms, chosen specifically with thoughts of future children playing in the halls. Yet Jake's resistance to starting a family has grown stronger each year, not just citing his 70-hour work weeks, but repeatedly referencing his own childhood wounds from a father who prioritized his medical career over family dinners and Little League games. Their marriage has shown increasing signs of strain over the past 18 months, particularly as Nina shoulders the growing responsibility of caring for her mother, Eleanor. What started as occasional drives to medical appointments has evolved into near-daily visits as Eleanor battles both advancing macular degeneration and an ominous shadow on her mammogram that requires further testing. Jake's frustration with Nina's divided attention manifests in passive-aggressive comments about takeout dinners and her frequent absences, though he never offers to help with Eleanor's care. After a particularly volatile argument where Nina, exhausted from another day at the hospital with her mother, rashly tells Jake, "If you hate it here so much, then why don't you just leave?" she wakes to an empty bed and unanswered texts. Initially, she assumes he's seeking space at the Four Seasons, his usual retreat during their worst fights. But alarm bells ring when his chief resident calls, asking why Dr. Hayes missed morning rounds, something unprecedented in his 15-year career. Nina's concern spirals into terror when she discovers his laptop still on his desk, his passport in their safe, and his favorite running shoes by the door. When she finally files a missing persons report, Officer Boone's skepticism is palpable. He methodically notes their argument, Jake's perfect work record, and their recent marriage counseling sessions, strongly implying that Jake's disappearance appears voluntary. Nina desperately scours their financial records, finding their joint accounts untouched and his credit cards inactive since purchasing coffee near the hospital on the day he vanished. At his medical office, his secretary reveals that Jake left abruptly after meeting with the family of Thomas Chen, a teenage patient who died on his operating table 3 weeks earlier, his first surgical loss in 5 years. As Nina navigates this nightmare, she finds herself increasingly dependent on Lily Anderson, her fellow English teacher and closest friend for the past decade. Lily offers her guest room when the emptiness of Nina's house becomes unbearable, brings coffee during Nina's sleepless nights, and helps sort through Jake's belongings for clues. What Nina doesn't know is that Lily's concerned texts to Jake in the weeks before his disappearance had evolved into secret meetings, conversations that might hold the key to understanding why a successful surgeon would abandon his life without a trace. What Nina doesn't know is that on the day Jake disappeared, Lily McKenzie was walking through Langley Woods on her doctor's recommendation for gentle exercise during her early pregnancy. There, she encountered Jake, who revealed he had been harboring inappropriate feelings for her. According to Lily's account to her husband Christian, Jake attempted to kiss her after complaining about Nina being emotionally unavailable. When Lily rejected his advances, Jake allegedly became enraged, calling her names and physically assaulting her, grabbing her arms, pushing her down, and pulling her back by the ankles when she tried to escape, causing her to fall on her abdomen where her precious, long-awaited baby was growing. In desperation and fear, Lily claims she grabbed a rock and struck Jake repeatedly in the head. There was blood, but she fled without looking back, terrified and in shock. When she finally confesses this to Christian that evening, he notices her clothes from that day in the hamper, dirt-stained, missing a button, and most alarmingly, blood on the right cuff. Christian, determined to protect his wife and unborn child at all costs, becomes her accomplice. Together, they return to Langley Woods to search for evidence, finding blood-stained grass that confirms Lily's story. They attempt to conceal the evidence by pouring water over the bloodstain and covering it with leaves. Their search for the rock and Lily's missing pearl earring proves unsuccessful, but they make a chilling discovery. Jake's BMW, parked on the street near the preserve entrance, suggesting he never left the woods after the attack. This revelation forces them to confront the likelihood that Jake is dead, hidden somewhere in the vast forest preserve where years earlier another victim, Amanda Holmes, had disappeared, her body only found a year later despite extensive searches. The couple now faces an impossible situation: how to protect Lily and their unborn child from the consequences of what appears to be an act of self-defense gone tragically wrong. As days pass without Jake's return, Christian and Lily methodically construct an elaborate web of deception designed to misdirect both investigators and Nina. Christian meticulously plans and executes a high-risk break-in at Nina and Jake's home, targeting the spare key fob in Jake's desk drawer. The operation nearly falls apart when Nina's mother unexpectedly returns home early from her yoga class. Christian barely manages to slip out through the back door, his heart pounding as he crouches behind the garage until she enters the house. With the key fob secured, Christian implements their carefully orchestrated plan. He drives Jake's car on a circuitous route to a rundown budget hotel in Bridgeview, deliberately avoiding main roads with traffic cameras and taking back streets to bypass toll booths. He parks the vehicle in a dimly lit corner of the lot, positioning it precisely to appear abandoned, a calculated move to create a false timeline of Jake's movements and throw investigators off their trail. When police officers inevitably arrive to question the neighborhood, Lily demonstrates her masterful manipulation skills. She presents herself as the concerned best friend, appearing hesitant and troubled as she strategically feeds the investigators damaging information about Nina. With practiced innocence, she reveals a pattern of escalating conflicts between the couple, suggesting Nina's increasing paranoia about Jake's supposed infidelity. Her most calculated revelation comes when she shares, with perfectly timed reluctance, Nina's chilling statement that if she couldn't be with Jake, no one would. Though Lily immediately feigns regret for sharing this information, claiming she never took it seriously, the damage is done. The officers exchange knowing glances, their suspicions visibly shifting toward Nina. Meanwhile, Nina finds herself trapped in an escalating psychological nightmare. Anonymous flower deliveries arrive at her classroom during lunch breaks, bearing unsettling messages that feel more threatening than romantic. "I hope these make you smile, because I love to see your smile." Words that make her skin crawl. During a routine car wash, she discovers a sophisticated GPS tracking device magnetically attached beneath her rear bumper. Most disturbingly, someone infiltrates her home while she's teaching, using the garage code to gain entry. The intruder flees when Nina's mother arrives unexpectedly, and her mother's mistaken assumption that it was Jake only adds to Nina's growing sense of isolation and fear. The investigation takes a dramatic turn when Jake's car is discovered at the budget hotel. After being towed to an impound lot, Nina arrives to claim it, her hands shaking as she opens the door. As she searches the vehicle for any clues to Jake's whereabouts, her world tilts on its axis. There, wedged between the backseat cushions, lies Lily's distinctive pearl earring, the match to one Nina had admired at a dinner party just weeks before. This small piece of jewelry becomes a devastating revelation, transforming her suspicions into certainty and shattering the foundation of her closest friendship. The physical evidence creates an undeniable link between Lily and Jake's disappearance, forcing Nina to confront the terrifying possibility that her best friend may be behind her husband's vanishing. As the investigation progresses, Christian and Lily's carefully constructed narrative begins to unravel like a fraying tapestry. The discovery of a body at Langley Woods, announced during the evening news broadcast that Christian and Lily watch in horrified silence, sends tremors through their seemingly perfect life. Their collective panic intensifies when forensics reveals Jake died from a precise gunshot wound to the head, not from the violent struggle with a rock that Lily had so vividly described. This crucial detail causes Christian to question not just his wife's version of events, but every word she's spoken since that fateful night. The pressure of maintaining their facade leads to increasingly desperate actions. Late one night, Christian attempts to dispose of damaging evidence, Lily's clothes from that evening, still bearing dark stains, by sneaking them into a neighbor's garbage bin three houses down. However, Nina, who has been conducting her own surveillance, witnesses this suspicious behavior. She waits until Christian leaves before retrieving the bag, her hands trembling as she discovers clothing with distinctive reddish-brown stains. The confrontation that follows between her and Christian in the darkness of the street becomes a turning point. Christian forcefully reclaims the evidence, but Nina's suspicions crystallize into certainty. Within hours, she contacts Officer Boone, providing a detailed account of Christian's suspicious behavior and her growing concerns about the couple's involvement in Jake's disappearance. The confirmation of Jake's death arrives like a thunderbolt the next morning. As Nina collapses in grief on her front porch, she catches sight of Lily watching from across the street. Instead of the expected sympathy between friends, Nina sees naked fear in Lily's eyes, a look that transforms their once close friendship into something poisoned and irreparable. The shared coffees, confidences, and comfort of their relationship now feel like elaborate props in a performance of deception. When Christian finally confronts Lily about the gunshot discrepancy, her composed facade crumbles. Through tears, she reveals a more complex truth. She hasn't been lying about killing Jake, but rather about the nature of their connection. She confesses to an affair that spanned five clandestine meetings, all while Nina was preoccupied with her ailing mother. The rendezvous at Langley Woods, Lily claims, was meant to be their last. She had chosen her marriage over their affair. But Jake, she insists, became violently angry at the rejection, forcing her to defend herself with the rock. Yet even as she maintains her innocence regarding the gunshot wound, her credibility lies in tatters. The sound of police vehicles approaching their house fills the air, and Lily's desperate pleas of innocence echo through their home as flashlight beams begin to sweep across their windows. In a shocking twist, the true killer is revealed to be Nina's mother, Margaret Sullivan, a revelation that shatters Nina's understanding of both her family and the case she's been pursuing. While retrieving mail from her overstuffed mailbox one rainy Tuesday afternoon, Nina discovers a traffic violation notice, a seemingly mundane piece of evidence that unravels everything. The photo shows her mother's silver Volvo running a red light on the day Jake disappeared, at the intersection of Maple and 4th, just two blocks from Jake's workplace. More disturbing, Jake's distinctive black Audi appears in the photo just ahead of hers, its dented rear bumper clearly visible. When confronted in her mother's sun-filled kitchen, where family photos still line the walls, Margaret calmly continues stirring soup on the stove, admitting to following Jake that day. This contradicts her previous claims that her macular degeneration had become too severe for driving, a lie she'd maintained for months. She confesses to tracking Jake to Willow Creek Park, where she witnessed his intimate encounter with Lily beneath the old oak trees. Using the .38 revolver she'd kept hidden since Nina's father left, she waited until Lily departed, then confronted and shot Jake twice. Margaret justifies her actions by drawing parallels to Nina's father's devastating infidelity 15 years earlier, an affair that had forced them to sell their family home, move to a small apartment, and struggle to make ends meet while he started a new family in Phoenix. I watched your father destroy us, Margaret explains, while methodically preparing hot chocolate with mini marshmallows, Nina's childhood comfort drink. When I saw Jake with that girl, history was repeating itself. I did you a favor, Nina. You're better off without him, she states with chilling maternal certainty. This revelation forces Nina into an impossible moral dilemma. Her mother's stage 4 breast cancer gives her less than 6 months to live. The doctors have been clear about this. Despite her horror at what her mother has done, Nina cannot reconcile sending her to die alone in a prison cell. The weight of this choice becomes crystallized in a moment of profound moral conflict as they sit at the kitchen table where Nina had done her homework as a child. When her mother reaches across, squeezes her hand, and says, "I love you, Nina. Everything I've ever done has been to protect you," Nina looks at her phone, the number for Detective Martinez already pulled up, and slowly sets it face down on the table, choosing the complicated bonds of family loyalty over the cold clarity of justice. 8 months after Jake's murder, Kristen navigates the complexities of single fatherhood while raising his 2-month-old daughter, Bella. The paternity test results brought both relief and renewed pain, confirming Bella as his biological child, not Jake's, despite Lily's affair. Christian has transformed his home office into a nursery, painting the walls a soft yellow and filling it with stuffed animals. He's adapted to the rhythms of parenthood, midnight feedings, early morning coos, and the constant juggle between work and childcare. The ripple effects of that fateful night continue to impact everyone involved. Nina's mother, deteriorating rapidly from aggressive untreated cancer, received compassionate release from prison. She now lives in a hospice facility where Nina visits daily, trying to reconcile her feelings of anger and love. Nina returned to teaching after winter break, though colleagues note she's more subdued, less likely to join staff gatherings. Her classroom, once decorated with personal photos, now displays only student work. The web of relationships remains fragile. Christian's parents struggle to accept Lily's continued presence in their grandson's life, while Jake's family has completely withdrawn from everyone involved. Weekly custody exchanges happen at Riverside Park, neutral ground that holds no memories for either party. These brief meetings are marked by careful politeness and avoided eye contact. During one such exchange, as autumn leaves scatter across the playground, Lily extends an unexpected olive branch, an invitation to dinner before taking Bella for her scheduled week. The invitation hangs between them, weighted with history and possibility. Christian's response is noncommittal, but later that night, watching Bella sleep in her crib, he reflects that maybe one day I'll surprise her and say yes. This contemplation suggests not forgiveness, perhaps, but an acknowledgement that their shared future as co-parents might eventually evolve beyond mere civility. The possibility of reconciliation hovers faintly on the horizon, tempered by the understanding that trust, once shattered, requires tremendous effort to rebuild. Just the Nicest Couple masterfully explores how secrets can corrode even the strongest relationships, demonstrating how deception spreads like a poison through intimate connections. Nina and Jake's marriage, once considered rock solid by their friends and family, was already bearing significant strain before the affair. Nina's increasing preoccupation with her mother's deteriorating health conditions demanded emotional energy and time, while Jake's surgical career pulled him away for long hours and emergency calls. When his affair with Lily entered the equation, it didn't just add another layer of deception, it exposed the existing fissures in their foundation. The parallel deterioration of Christian and Lily's marriage proves equally compelling. Their relationship appeared unshakable from the outside, with Christian's fierce protectiveness suggesting a depth of devotion that could weather any storm. However, Lily's calculated deceptions about her involvement with Jake, from small omissions to outright lies, gradually erode the trust between them. Each discovered falsehood forces Christian to question not just the present, but their entire shared history. Kubica skillfully demonstrates how our perception of truth depends entirely on whose perspective we're seeing, weaving a complex tapestry of subjective realities. Through alternating chapters from Christian and Nina's viewpoints, readers experience the same events through dramatically different lenses. A a casual lunch between friends becomes laden with hidden meanings. An innocent text message transforms into potential evidence of betrayal. These shifting perspectives highlight how easily facts can be manipulated and motives misunderstood, especially when filtered through the lens of fear, suspicion, or protective love. The novel challenges readers to examine their own relationships and the secrets they keep or suspect. It poses uncomfortable questions about the nature of trust and intimacy. How well do we truly know our partners? What lies beneath the carefully maintained facades of our closest friends and family members? Most disturbingly, what are we capable of doing or justifying when protecting those we love or ourselves? Through its intricate plot and psychological complexity, the story suggests that perhaps the most dangerous aspect of secrets isn't the initial deception, but how they force us to keep building new lies to protect the original ones, creating an ever-expanding web of dishonesty that eventually threatens to collapse under its own weight. Perhaps the most compelling aspect of the novel is its deep exploration of the moral compromises people make to protect their loved ones. Christian's immediate decision to become Lily's accomplice demonstrates this complexity. He not only tampers with evidence and lies to police, but systematically constructs alibis and disposes of incriminating items to shield his pregnant wife from consequences. His transformation from an upstanding citizen to a calculated deceiver happens almost instantaneously, suggesting that our moral boundaries can shift dramatically when protecting family. Nina's character arc presents an equally challenging moral dilemma. As she uncovers the truth about her mother's involvement, she faces an impossible choice between justice and family loyalty. Her mother's terminal illness adds another layer of complexity. Does one pursue truth when the perpetrator is already facing death? Nina's ultimate decision to protect her dying mother, despite the horror of her crime, raises questions about the intersection of justice, mercy, and family obligation. Even Nina's mother's actions, though ultimately destructive, stem from a distorted maternal instinct. She genuinely believes she's protecting her daughter by eliminating Jake, whom she perceives as a threat to Nina's happiness. These morally complex choices force readers to confront uncomfortable questions about their own ethical boundaries. Would you destroy evidence to protect your spouse from prosecution? Would you maintain a lie that could give your unborn child a chance at a normal life? Would you betray family loyalty in pursuit of justice? The novel presents these dilemmas without clear moral answers, allowing readers to grapple with the implications of each character's choices. The psychological impact deepens as the story reveals how ordinary people can become entangled in extraordinary moral compromises. Each character's descent into deception appears rational within their context. Christian's protective instinct toward his pregnant wife, Nina's compassion for her dying mother, even Jake's own secrets that preceded his disappearance. Kubica masterfully demonstrates how good people can make morally questionable choices when protecting their loved ones. The novel leaves readers with the unsettling realization that those closest to us, our spouses, friends, parents, may harbor secrets that could unravel our entire understanding of them and ourselves. Every character in the story wears a mask of normalcy while carrying devastating secrets. This exploration of hidden truths within intimate relationships adds another layer to the moral complexity. We must question not only what we would do to protect others, but how well we truly know those we claim to love. In the end, Just the Nicest Couple transcends its thriller framework to become a nuanced examination of the dangerous, sometimes deadly consequences of deception and the moral compromises we make in the name of love and self-preservation. The story suggests that while protection of loved ones is a noble instinct, it can lead us down paths that fundamentally change who we are and challenge our most deeply held moral convictions.